We want to talk about debt today. Anyone here a big fan of debt? You know, debt can come in many forms. A lot of times it's monetary. And we want to kind of start out with what debt really is. It's an obligation we owe, isn't it? Monetarily, I would advise you to stay away from it. Okay, I'm up here talking debt. Everyone's rolling their eyes at me. Oh, no, here we go, talking about money. Or sometimes we're indebted to somebody who maybe paid us a kindness. Not that we should be, okay? I have a neighbor who shall remain nameless. But trying to show the love of Christ to that neighbor, you know, pay him a kindness. Doggone it, they always try and pay it back. You ever been there? It's like, yeah, you're trying to do something nice and kind, and, you know, they one-up you. So you really have to, you know, that line just keeps going up. You've been there, and it's, you know, that kind of debt, I don't like being in debt. But today we want to talk about a different kind of debt. One that we're actually supposed to have. And we'd like to share it with you today. We're going to be looking and starting out in Romans chapter 13. And we want to look at a debt that we are to owe. And as we look at Romans 13, I'm going to read verses 8 through 10. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Today we're going to look at this debt that we owe. We owe love. And as we look at this, I want us to think as we look at Romans chapter 13, this letter to Romans, it begins out by taking us through the process of being a Christian. It starts out with several chapters that start in the basement. It's like, I am a needy person. I need God. I'm a sinner. I can't do anything about my situation. As the letter progresses, it talks about what God's grace is all about, salvation, our need for Him, the payment for our sin. Amen. And then that letter continues and finishes up with what our life in Christ is supposed to look like. And we get to Romans 13 here. And, you know, I used to really read over this and let, no, you know, debt remain outstanding. It's like, okay. Except a continuing debt to love one another. And the more I read this, the more I studied it, the more I understand that it is an obligation for me. It's an obligation for you. This is something we need to pay. We are obligated as followers of Christ to pay this. What a conviction. The more I read and understood this, the more it was pretty in my face. And I want us to think this morning as we look at this, this is the norm. This isn't something super Christians do, right? This isn't something we do when we feel like doing it. It's something we're obligated to do. And as we chew on this and unpack it, this is going to be like the one-point sermon hit from four different ways. So it's either going to be 15 minutes or 2 hours. It's you know, it's up to what the Spirit does here. I know what your vote probably is. But how in the world are we expected to pay this kind of a debt? How do we live in a way that actually displays the love we're expected to give? You know, we realize that we need to pay it. And in the context that we look in Romans here, this one is specifically talking within the body of believers. But it's not just that. And, you know, we had Paul's opinion on that. I want to take a different perspective and take it a little deeper. And I want to go to 1 Peter 4, and beginning in verse 8. And I want us to realize that Peter puts this out. And again, it's put out as the norm, the way we're supposed to operate. 1 Peter 4, beginning with verse 8. Above all, and he's telling us how to live here as well. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Peter displays this kind of love in a practical sense. How we do it. He talks about how we're all gifted, empowered with various spiritual gifts. And these gifts that we given are not given for ourselves. The gifts that God gives us are so that we can love others. Some of us love by teaching or preaching. Some love by serving. You know, it was a real joy to come here yesterday during that work bee and see a lot of people loving each other, working hard, serving each other. Some made hot dogs for us, right? But we live together. And this morning, I want us to think, and I want to put a couple shout-outs out there, and I usually don't do this, but as an illustration, I want us to look within our church family. There are people in this church family who love me well. And most of the names leave off, so I don't embarrass anyone. But there are those that encourage me in my teaching, those who encourage me when I get the privilege of being up here preaching. There are those who send me cards when I need them most. They don't usually know that. There's one person in this congregation that every morning texts me the verse that I need. But there's one name I want to say. Almost every day, I get a phone call from Cheryl. Cheryl? Hi, Cheryl. Every day you call me, don't you? And every day when Cheryl gets done talking to me, what do you tell me when we're done talking on the phone? You tell me that you love me, don't you? And I tell Cheryl that I love her. Sometimes it's not at the most convenient time, Cheryl, that I get those phone calls, but we find out what each other had for supper. But I always appreciate that you love me, Cheryl. Some days it's exactly what I need, convenient or not. That's what this is all about. And because of that example, that's a debt we're to pay. There are people in this church body, if we look around, there are people that we love well. And there are people here that love us well, but I am certain there are probably people here that may not. Or people here that maybe we aren't loving as well as we can be loving as individuals. That's what this message is about, is how do we live in a way that we live in this obligation that is the norm of how we're supposed to live. And for me, it's not connection, it's in service sometimes. The things that we see, the things we don't see, but what we do in serving each other, it's really a display of what we have on the inside. You know, and I realize there are people in this church family. There are some people in this church family that I know are kind of introverts. Some are kind of outspoken, okay. But there are some when you're introverted, sometimes it's easy for you to feel unloved. And for those people, it's a call to open your heart a little bit. Not just so you can love others, but so that others can love you. And, you know, I stand up here, and us as elders, we've been trying to contact everyone the last couple months. There are some names sometimes on these lists that we're scratching our head. It's like, I'm not even sure I know this one. This message is to get into our hearts is, we need to know you. Sometimes it's hard. If you're here this morning and feel unknown, don't rush right out. Catch me, let's talk about it. We want to get to know you. We want you to experience this kind of a life where we love each other well. We love each other when times are good. We love each other when times are bad. And if you're here visiting this morning for the first time, I apologize that we haven't met you yet. Okay? That's a reason to fill out a visitor card. I'm going to do a commercial for a visitor card again. We want to know you. That's how we live together as a church body. That's how we support each other. That's how we live. Sometimes living this life of love is inconvenient. Been there? Anyone this week love your enemies? Yeah, the thing we love to hate to do, Jesus told us that. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, Jesus tells us, beginning in verse 43, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Right? For the people who want to justify it. Oh, I'm supposed to hate my enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you only greet your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus gives this example, and I don't want to dwell a long time on this, but love those who it's inconvenient to love. Not necessarily your enemies, but maybe someone you might not have on your list. Or someone that I might not have on mine. When was the last time you connected in the grocery store line. Or the last time you let someone actually pull out in front of you in traffic. Or the last time you just gave someone a cold glass of water in the name of Jesus. When is the last time we've done that? Again, Jesus presents us, this is the norm for kingdom living. Even people that love the people that is convenient, even unbelievers do that. And I think of the example, it's not going to be up here, but in Luke 10, we have the account and parable of the prodigal son. Jesus was tested with a question, and in Luke 10, 7, Jesus was tested by an expert in the law, and he answered, love your Lord, the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus told the man testing him when he turned the question back. Jesus said, do this and you'll live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? The long and short of it, Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. He never answers the question, who is your neighbor? He instructs him to be a neighbor. That's the norm. Be a neighbor. Not to the ones who it's convenient to be the neighbor to. Be a neighbor to your neighbors. To those it's inconvenient to be. I want to finish up with 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, right? How many of you heard this at a wedding, 1 Corinthians 13, right? Over and over again, the big wedding. You know, you could, some of you probably have it memorized. You could recite it. This isn't about marriage, specifically. 1 Corinthians 13 is how we live in the church. How we live with each other. That's the instruction given here. It does apply in marriage. Sure, use it in your marriage ceremony. Some of us as husbands, when we've blown it, we try to use this as a model, okay, to get us back on track. But 1 Corinthians 13 tell us the norm. This is what this kind of love is supposed to look like. And I'm going to pick up in verse 13. I'm not going to read the whole thing. 13, verse 4 through the beginning of 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. Does not boast. It's not proud. Does not dishonor others. Ouch. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Double ouch. Keeps no record of wrongs. Well, you always, or you never, that's a record. When you hear those things coming out of your heart, that's a record. You've kept a record. Stop it. Okay? Just stop it. It's not like a new heart. Just stop it, right? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts. Even when you get stung, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. You know, I'm sure you're like me. I have loved sometimes and it has gotten me in trouble. Sometimes it loses me money. I'm sure we've all been there. Us as a church family, we've helped people and it has lost us money sometimes. You know, those abusing, I need this, I need that, and, you know. But I've never gone wrong loving somebody, even when I get stung. Because who owns it all anyway? God. Love your neighbor. Live in a way that makes a difference. That's what kingdom living is all about. As we look there in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, I can look at that short list in those 3.5 verses, and we could take each one of them and preach for an hour. But I think sometimes if I were to, I would be heavily convicted by it. How do I love well? I try to be more patient. I try to be more kind. I try not to envy. Nice bass boat. Not self-seeking, not easily angered. We can't go wrong with love, but we can definitely go wrong when we don't. When we stop short of doing what we're called to do to pay that debt of love, we always go wrong. How do we pay this debt to each other that we owe? We just need to practice it. We just plain need to do it. We need to embrace the truth that we've read this morning. You know, this is what love looks like. Just do it. It's not knowing that truth. It's living it like it actually makes a difference. And when we do that, it will. And I want us to think as we close. I want to close with John 15:12. Which means this isn't the 4-hour version of the message. This is the shorter version. John 15:12, Jesus said, "My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you." He's telling the disciples the night before he's crucified, love each other. I showed you how to do it. And I want us to think about this cross. We owe this debt of love because Jesus paid that debt of love to us. We love because he first loved us. That's why we do this. This is where the power of the church lies. It lies in this fact that Christ loved us, we love each other, and we're going to turn the world upside down because we do. We live this kind of a life. We don't shoot our wounded. That should never be who we are. My accountability brothers, this kind of love is when you can get in my face and tell me, "You're not getting it quite right, but I love you," right? Cap knows he can say that to me. Don Moore knows he can say that to me. Jason, Mark. You know, there's 20 guys here that know, and Pastor Doug, they know they can get in my face and love me with the truth. That's still love. The debt that Jesus paid for us was love. He paid it, so we don't so much owe it, but we display it because it's already been paid. I love you because Jesus loves me. I hate to think what I would be like if I didn't embrace that truth. I became a Christian way early, like 7 or 8. But I don't know what I would be like today if that had never happened and I never embraced that love. What kind of a self-centered, even more self-centered kind of a guy. We can all be there. But think about where you would be without that love of Jesus. We definitely can't share it if we don't have it. We can't pay that debt if we don't embrace that love. That's where we leave off today. Do you understand the love that Christ had for us last week when we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, that He is risen? He paid our sin debt in full. Not in part. He paid the whole thing, past, present, future, for you and for me. The least we can do is pay that love to each other. The very least part of that debt. It's not a hard debt to pay. Most of the time, I have a whole lot of fun when we do that. I know when people love on me, it's a lot of fun. And I like loving on people too. Love me peanut butter cookies that are burnt. Right? That's happened in the past. You haven't burned any lately. Oh, you don't need touch peanut butter anymore, do you? Oh, Sherry. Yep, the blessings of burnt cookies. Something Jeff Turner and I both appreciate. You know, bless us with your burnt cookies when you mess up. But I want to leave you with this. You know, have fun doing this. This isn't a kind of a, you know, it can get in our face if we don't do it, but enjoy each other. Enjoy life. Enjoy loving people. They'll wonder what you're up to. At least they do me. It's like, you're crazy. But I want us to think of this fact as we close. The community and the world are watching us. What are they seeing? If we love each other well, it is going to change the world. It is going to change our community. Most of all, it's going to change us. It's contagious. When we love well, it'll be contagious. And it'll change the world. One person at a time. Amen? Let's close in prayer and the praise team comes up. Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, and I take time even now to thank you for this message that you gave me. Because I need this as much as everyone else. Lord, I think as the church body, we need this. Help us to love each other well. Help us to honor you in paying the debt. The only debt you want us to owe is to love each other. Help us to be faithful in this. Help us, Lord Jesus, to honor you. Lord, let us look at each other with your eyes. Let us look at those around us, our neighbors, the people we associate with at work, and Lord, even in the line at the store or in traffic, let us love. Help our community to see our love. Help the world to see the whole church, capital C, Lord, living this kind of love and want what we have. Lord, help us to be crazy about you and be crazy about each other as well. Help us to honor each other, support each other, love each other. And Lord, we realize that when we do this, we actually be conformed to who you are, Jesus. That's a real transformation when we look like you. We just thank you for that. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.